I'd like to speak this morning about that star and some lessons we can learn and how that star points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a remarkable part of the history of the birth of the Lord Jesus, isn't it? That these wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, and we know that these were not Jews. They were wise men who was asking who was to be born, verse 2, King of the Jews. For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. So these men were those who apparently studied the stars. The study of the stars, of course, can be perfectly innocent. But as we know too, it's also is used to divine things that the Bible does not permit, and it also causes people to worship the stars. That's a wrong use of stargazing. Astrology is something that that Christians do not engage in. Certainly reading the signs of the zodiac in your daily newspaper is not something that believers do, but it's something that the world does all the time. Well, here is a right use of a study of the stars. These men had obviously heard something about the Jewish religion. Was it that it went back to the days of Babylon, when the Jews were in exile there? Was there something from that exile that had remained, that had been passed down from generation to generation? Well, it's difficult to know, isn't it? But what was it that caused these men to see a star and to work out that it spoke of a coming Messiah? It does speak the existence of that star that was seen by these men. It speaks of the sovereignty of God. In Psalm 8, verse 3, we read, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained." It is a good thing for all of us to study the creation. This was David speaking, and some have said, well, this is David's testimony of how he came to believe on the Messiah. He saw in the heavens the one who had made heaven and earth. He saw in the stars the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars. God had ordained these from before the beginning of time. And then on the first day of creation, the heavens and the earth were formed. And friends, I would suggest it is a very good thing for us to be aware of our surroundings. I think it was Prince Charles who said in the year 2000, he borrowed that story when he did the thought for the day on Radio 4 on the 1st of January 2000. He said that those who say that this earth came by accident is rather like saying that a hurricane blew through a scrapyard and produced a Rolls Royce. It would be very flattering for Rolls Royce if that was the way their cars were made. But their history of excellence is because of the design that has gone into them. And so we see a world full of design, the most intricate design. Think of the Bombardier Beetle that is able to fire a jet of ink towards a predator from behind without destroying itself. Bombardier, because it is exactly the kind of mechanism it's made of that a cannon is made of, enabling a cannon to fire an artillery piece to fire without destroying itself. So it is with the bombardier beetle, just as one example of many. The intricacies of our creation should point us to our Creator. And so these men were pointed not so much to their Creator, although they were pointed to their Creator, but they were pointed to one who had come into the world. You see, they saw these stars, and these stars, there was one star that was unusual, one star that was different to the other stars. Maybe it was a meteor or some comet, we don't know. But it didn't have quite the ordered passage of all the other stars. And it spoke to these men of some important happening, some important happening that would affect the course of this world. Of course, the coming of this person into the world, this person who we now know to be the Lord Jesus, the King of the Jews, arose because of the sinfulness of man. That star was only visible because of the darkness all around us. That darkness is caused by sin. That sin came about when Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden, ate the fruit from the tree that they were forbidden to eat from, of the knowledge of good and evil. They disobeyed God. They were ejected from the garden. And from there onwards, they lived in darkness. They might have had natural light, but their spiritual light had been taken from them. And now a light was coming into the world. And that light was pictured by this star. In John 3, verse 19, we read about that light, which reflects the sinfulness of man. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Well, here were these men from the east who came in search of this king. Wise men, we read in verse 1. Wise men, because although they were sinners, like all men after Adam and Eve, they were seeking the light of the world. Plainly they were seeking, because otherwise why would they have followed this star? And plainly they knew that there was a significance to the King of the Jews. And they went to Herod to ask him about it. Indeed, they were called to him. And isn't it an interesting contrast? See, these men came that they might worship this king. And they plainly realized that if they were to worship this king, that he must be more than a human being. As we find this in verse 11. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Remarkable, isn't it? These men knew that he was more than a mere human being. Was it that they were aware of some of the Jewish scriptures? Were they perhaps aware of Isaiah 9 verse 6, which I read to us just at the beginning of the service. Let me just repeat it. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You see, this King of the Jews was no mere man, although he was a man, he was fully man, but he was also God. And they realized, they must have realized, here was a king who was also God, because they brought their treasures to worship him. How different to the majority of the Jews. How different to Herod. Herod, who owned his kingship. He owned his throne to God. God had ordained that he should rule. But Herod was in darkness. And instead of genuinely wanting to come and worship this king, he felt threatened. See, this is what we find in verses 7 to 9. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." He had no such intention. His intention was, as we go on to find out, his intention was to destroy this king of the Jews unless, in case, he became a threat to his throne. What folly that was. As if man can fight against God. It goes back to the points I was making of the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God is such that even when men harbour evil thoughts against God, they will never succeed. One of the psalms that speaks of Christ, speaks of him as the Son of God, Psalm 2, it's an extraordinary psalm. And if you look at it, how the nations conspire against God, they think that they can beat him. It begins, "Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us.' He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill Zion." You see, amidst the attempts of man to rebel against God, God was working, even using their rebellion. He laughed at it. He laughed at Herod and his attempts to destroy the Son of God. And we know that after his birth, Joseph and Mary were warned in a dream, and they took the child to Egypt. And that was in fulfillment of prophecy. It was prophesied, "For out of Egypt have I called my son." In order to fulfill prophecy that was written many hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus came, wicked men did what they could to thwart the birth and the life of the Son of God, but they couldn't. All they could do is fulfill the prophecies of Scripture written about them. Herod wanted to destroy Christ. You see, God knew his thoughts. Just as God knows my thoughts and your thoughts, as much as we may wish to hide them from him, we cannot. And so what happens? Well, we read that the wise men were warned in a dream not to report back to Herod. That's remarkable, isn't it? They were warned and because God saw their hearts. He read their thoughts, and so he warned the wise. He read Herod's thoughts, and so warned the wise men. And they went back another way. Verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Friends, it's a folly to fight against God. And it's because of the rebellion of mankind that the Lord Jesus was sent into this world. And again, staying on the theme of stars, here was the brightest star that ever burnt in the firmament. He's the brightest star because he's the light of the world, and in him was no darkness. And what that means is that in Christ was no sin. Here was the first person to be born after Adam, who was born without the sinful nature that you and I have. And he was sinless because he was the Son of God. See, the Son, the divine nature could never have lived with a fallen nature in one person, as the Son of God was born into this world, into a body that was without sin, because the Lord Jesus' Father is God and not man. This is what Revelation chapter 22, verses 16 and 17 says about the Lord Jesus. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Christ came into the world for a purpose. He was sinless because he was God. And he lived a sinless life. He lived a sinless life in order that he might be a sacrifice for the sins of the world. See, friends, darkness does not end at death. The Bible speaks not just of the darkness, the natural darkness, not just of a spiritual darkness in this world, but of an outer darkness into which all men and women who know not the Lord Jesus Christ will be thrown at the end of their lives. Another word is hell, the lake of fire, which will burn forever and ever. That is the end of all rebellion. If Herod never repented, and there's no evidence that he did, then that is where he would have gone. And that is the end of all rebellious humanity. Friends, that is not where you need to go. There is a calling to Christ. We need to take heed of that light. Just as the wise men took heed of that star, we need to take heed of that morning star. That morning star that the Lord Jesus described himself as. The bright and morning star. Just as those wise men were attracted to the star as it travelled towards and stood over Bethlehem, so, friends, we need to come to that bright and morning star. In Jeremiah, we read Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. Stars are there to guide. I don't know if you've ever been sailing, but there is one sailor. I think he died recently. He did die recently, and I've forgotten his name. But he refused to use any of the modern methods of navigation, and he navigated by the stars. See, the stars can be navigated with if you live in our part of the this in the northern hemisphere, then we can be guided by the polar star and the constellations. The constellations, if we know them, they'll guide us. They tell us where north is. And the Southern Cross tells us where south is if you're living in the southern hemisphere. So the stars guide us. They are as sure as surer than a compass. If you can be surer than a compass. Well, the Bible is even better than that. We read in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." It gives us a light to Christ. A light to Christ, a light to eternal life. And this is what Peter says about the word of God in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. "We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart." That day star is the same as that morning star, that bright morning star. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the calling of God through Christ is to come to him. We saw that, didn't we, in Revelation chapter 22. "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." See, what the wise men did in coming and following the star to Bethlehem is what we are all called to do. It's the message of the Bible that is to come to the Messiah, to come to the one who came into this world to pay for the sin of sinners on our behalf. Just as those wise men came and worshipped before this baby. Who worships a baby? Well, I think in some parts of the world, when some babies are born, they are regarded as having divine qualities because they might come from a kingly line. But that would be idolatry. That is idolatry. That is false worship. That is to worship the creator. Sorry, that is to worship the creature and not the creator. But these wise men did what was right. They came and worshipped this baby because this baby was God. This baby had a right to worship. That star led them to worship Christ. The word of God leads us to worship Christ because it describes Christ, who he is, and why he came, and what is required of you and me, which is to repent and believe upon him. You see, he has the power to save. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, we read, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. This bright morning star has healing in his wings. Friends, have you received Christ by faith into your heart? Because that is the calling of the Bible. There is a call to repent and believe, that we ourselves would become, as it were, stars. Stars that will lead other people to righteousness. Becoming a Christian is not just about having our sins forgiven so we will go to heaven. Of course it's about that. But it's about following Christ. Just as those wise men, they followed Christ from their homes to that stable. We follow Christ from this world to heaven. Once his star arises in our heart, it will lead us home. Has this day star arisen in your heart? Have you turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, repented of your sins, and believed upon him? Well, I urge each one of us to take that step today. And then Daniel 12:3 speaks of the Christian walk. Daniel 12, verse 3 says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they shall turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." It's important to understand that there is a cost to being a Christian. We are called to follow Christ, and we are called to turn others to Christ. We do that because we shine, if we are believers, not with our own light, the light of our own good works, of which in comparison to Christ, they are as filthy rags. They will get us nowhere. They will not shine for us the true light. But those who turn to Christ will have the light of Christ shining from within, because the Spirit of Christ is in their hearts. That's why the Lord Jesus said, "Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Unless a man is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." We need to be born again. We need to yield our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, to that light which shines in our hearts. And so we live a life of good works that Christ leads us to. And so every believer should shine for Christ. And as he or she shines for Christ, so we have a duty to tell others about him. It's not just in the way we live our lives, but we need to testify about what Christ has done for us. Just as those wise men testified to Herod that they'd come to find the King of the Jews, we need to be willing to testify before kings and before our neighbour. And we may face trouble, because we will find that there are those who hate Christ and therefore hate his believers. But friends, we mustn't be put off. We must remember again that same God who rescued the wise men by speaking to them in a dream, he too will keep his people. And he will guide us into the good works that he has already appointed for us to walk in. So may I urge us this Christmastide to remember the stars, but most importantly, as we look up to the stars and see our Creator who made those stars, may we remember the brightest of them all, that bright morning star, the Lord Jesus Christ, God who became man to lead us to eternal life. May we turn to him from our sins and believe upon him this Christmas. Amen.